Hey guys, it's Corey from CoreyBakerFilmmaker.com. Thank you so much for watching. I just saw Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, written and directed by Kevin Smith. So this is the first time since starting these reviews where I've done a Kevin Smith movie as one of the entries. So I feel like I should just say up front that I've been a long time huge fan of Kevin Smith. Now, I never thought that Kevin Smith broke through in a way where he created a really serious work that like should be thought of the same as like other movies that I've done on this list, things that have won Oscars and stuff like that. He's just not that kind of guy. But I remember when I was young, because I'm just born in 84, I just have been the perfect age for Kevin Smith this whole time. When I first saw Clerks and saw how different it was from everything else that I had been seeing, I remember I saw in like a VHS in a basement. It was perfect. It was just ideal situations for watching Clerks. I sort of had that same feeling that I did the first time that I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana, where it was just like, what the fuck is this and how do I get more? And he's never been a good technical filmmaker. And this movie is not a good technical film at all. And he's always sort of played to the more sophomoric side of the humor scale. And I feel like as the years have gone on, especially as sort of like weed has become a bigger part of the shtick and more in line with a, you know, he's selling weed now and stuff like that, it just feels very, it feels like he hasn't really grown with his material as much, something that I kind of hoped that he would. But, you know, when he almost died a year ago or so at this point, it really upset me, mostly because I feel like he's a really good writer, and he, even when his characters are saying, you know, cocksmokers and shit like that, like, it's not, it's still surprisingly well written. I almost felt like I was going to lose out on the part of Kevin's career where it was going to get a little bit better and a little bit more serious. And I'm really not trying to dig on him, because I truly do love Kev as just sort of like a person in my life, a director who has done things that I've really enjoyed despite their lack of, like, so like Rob of Every Man We Reviews and Know the Anthem and Roberto like to talk about like the pretentious movie reviews that I'm doing, and I get why examining films sort of like deeply as like a frame by frame thing can seem sort of pretentious from time to time, but I get it. Like, I love Kevin Smith movies. I don't know what it is, but I'm allowed to like both artsy fartsy films and Kevin Smith at the same time. I just wish that there was a little bit more of a direction from, you know, sort of where he is now to where he could potentially be. Because after the movie, I said to Rob, I was like, if I would have told you in 2008 that one of these two would win an Oscar, would you bet it would be Kevin Smith, or would you bet it would be Peter Farrelly? And no, you know, no disrespect to either, but I think almost everyone would have picked Kevin Smith. I think that you see things like Dogma, you see things like Chasing Amy, even Jersey Girl, for as horribly, you know, like, as much as that didn't work, there was still moments in it where you're like watching it and saying like, it could have worked. It could. I mean, like, it's dumb and didn't make sense the way that it should, but there's some way it could have worked. It's just so tough. He really does have a talent for it, and I don't know if we'll ever see the full realization of it, but I mean, I'm fine. I'm like, honestly, it's his life, and he knows more than anybody else how fleeting it can be. And if this is what he wants to do, and if this is how he is happy, I want him to be happy. I just do feel like that there's a real talent underneath it all that, you know, if he got hired to just start writing dramas, I think he'd do a really great job. And I know that's not part of his, like, brand and empire and stuff like that, but it's still something I secretly wish for. Onto this movie in particular, it's very meta, very breaking the fourth wall. Obviously, this is sort of a style. If you've watched the Viewisk universe, you know very well. And this one is way more upfront about it. Like, you know, Kevin makes an appearance in this movie as himself, as the director of the new Blunt Man and Chronic movie. And, you know, there's a whole bit where, you know, you have Silent Bob, who's Kevin Smith, watching Kevin Smith on stage. And, you know, obviously, Silent Bob has sort of this Marceau Marceau kind of thing where he's just silent the whole time. And Kevin in real life, you know, is, you know, like, hey, what's going on? You know, like, we're going to do some really cool, you know, like, it's very lively. It's very aggressive. It's very out there. And it's very different from the character he's best known for playing. Jay Muse in this one is Jay as he's always been. He's still funny and endearing in that kind of shithead friend, you know, kind of way, which is his wheelhouse. And you know what? There's no great acting to speak of here. There's nothing that, you know, like, somebody would write, like, you know, like, oh, don't be surprised if somebody gets an Academy Award. No, there's none of it. There's nothing close, but there's a great cast with great people, people who Kevin has worked with for years, from Affleck and Diedrich Bader and Jason Biggs and Vander Beek. And, like, there's even a cameo from all the people from the original Clerks in Black and White, which was kind of funny. Rosario Dawson comes back. All the usual players that you're used to seeing in all these great Kevin Smith movies, which made them so enjoyable, is these incredible casts that he was able to put together for, you know, quote unquote stupid movies. Great to see Joey Lauren Adams too. Like, I haven't seen her in a while. It was just a really, it was fun. It was nostalgic. It was fun. It's not a good, like, we're going to go, when we get to the leaderboard, we're going to just go through the first part fast and go to the Fast and the Furious leaderboard, because this is not a movie for discerning tastes. But it's fun. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's fun. The only moment, I will say this, the only moment of acting that really I felt like elevated the movie at all was surprisingly from Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn, who is not a bad actress. She is definitely rough around the edges a little bit, and she's not a heartthrob, but she has a very unique look, and she does have a very special something about her. Like, you watch her, she's got it in some way. I just don't know if it's been put together all together. I mean, like, this could be a Smith family trademark. It just feels like all the things are there, it's just not happening. It's just not putting together quite the way it was. But there's one really nice moment where she talks about what it's like not to have a dad, and it's like one of the only real, like, super, you know, like, cinematic-y kind of feeling moments in the thing. And it's a little monologue by her, and it's good. It tugs on the heartstrings a bit. It's just not to the level that I feel like he's capable of, and that's always the knife in it. It's a killer. So let me put it this way in terms of this specific movie for people who don't or are thinking about watching it. So if you've never seen any of the Viewisk Universe movies, then you will probably not understand what the hell is going on. This is very much built for the people who have seen these movies before, and the more familiar you are with them, the better of a time you're going to have, because you're going to get more of the inside jokes. If you have a casual understanding of who Jay and Silent Bob are and you enjoy it, then you'll probably have fun either way. You might not get every little bit that is being put in there for like the true diehard fans, but it's all, but at the same time, it's not like some hard thing to get into. You could literally have never seen anything and watch this movie and get it. But I mean, you won't probably like it that much unless you're up for like a stoner comedy type of thing. But it's a fun flick. It's a really, I mean, like, we had some laughs. I had some laughs. I specifically feel like I'm sort of the target audience for this movie, and it did well by me. I would not say that everyone will have the same reaction to this. I don't know if I would tell my dad to go see this one. All in all, though, this movie kind of follows a similar problem I've had with Kevin as a director for a while now. So, I mean, like, he does a lot to create his own universe, and that's the type of thing that we applaud. If Tyler Perry opens up his own studio and creates all these shows that go on these networks, and, you know, he's in charge of, you know, he's got multiple properties all over the place, we applaud him. When Kevin Smith does it, we're just like, yeah, well, he's just doing stupid stoner comedies and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's like a real, you know, like he's created his own underground studio, and, you know, it's to be applauded. I don't know if the movies live up to the same level as other people who have sort of created this kind of like insulated infrastructure for themselves, but what's important to me is that, you know, Kevin makes money. He's able to survive. He's able to feed his family. He's able to make more movies. If he was in just like the studio system and he didn't sort of partition himself off and his fans away from the rest of the industry, in terms of like, he wasn't going to make the Jay and Silent Bob reboot for Universal or Disney or something like that. It's just not in their wheelhouse. So he realized that his audience was going to be separate from what the regular studio fare was. And he's been able to monetize off that audience, and he monetizes us in the movie itself. There's a part where they walk into the gift shop and see all the different Jay and Silent Bob and Blunt Man and Chronic merch that you can buy, and you know, it's all part of, you know, and I know for a fact that Kevin Smith sells weed, so, I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if I went to the store and found the Snoogans, the legendary strain, the last of Jay's legacy, which he passes on to Harley Quinn in the movie. I appreciate him going out there and doing what he does and being able to develop an audience all for his own. And I think any filmmaker would kill for a rabid fan base as loyal as Kevin's is, but it does seem to pull him back down a little bit. He never gets to do the thing that really breaks free. I hope now that this movie is out, and it feels like all the loose ends in the Viewisk universe are kind of like tied together now, even though there's jokes about like a Chasing Amy Netflix series, and I haven't heard anything about that, but who knows? I mean, could be interesting. I'd check it out for sure. But I mean, like, it just seems like it feels like there's been a nice bookend on the early part of Kev's career. So I mean, like, I feel like if I could, I know I just keep saying it, but I just like feel like he has this ability to do better, and I really wish he would. And maybe now that he's gotten this out, I know a lot of it had to do with his reaction to the heart attack, and you know, maybe he feels like he's said the thing that he needs to say to like tie this whole thing together, and maybe he'll try different things. I mean, if you would have told me that Kevin Smith was going to make a new movie and it was going to just have Rosario Dawson and Chris Hemsworth in it, who are two people who are in this movie, then I would say those are two incredibly talented actors, and Kevin Smith's a really good writer, and I'm interested. I'll see it. He doesn't use them up to the best of their ability in this. Now both of them are sort of like cameo, just little bits, but I mean, like, it's still like every single time you turn to a new character, it's some person you've seen before. So it's hard not to say that he can't get a cast to carry something overall, but this one is kind of lacking. And real quick, just about the like the technical side of it, he hasn't really grown that much as a director in that regard, and it's not that it's, I wasn't expecting to go into the Jay and Silent Bob reboot and get a Roger Deakins shot, incredible, amazing thing. There's a way of doing comedy where it doesn't have to be, you know, this artistic license, but it can be really well shot and good at the same time. There were too many moments in this movie where the finished product was unacceptable. There's like a couple scenes that are shot in cars, like in the back of a van or a back of a car, where it is so dark you can't see what's going on. It's like that Game of Thrones episode all over again. And no, it's not my TV settings, because I know for a fact they're right. It's almost unreasonable that there hasn't been how you can know so many actors and be able to put them in little bit roles and have them knock it out of the park with their little jokes, but not be able to find a gaffer who like knows how to properly light the scene, or just that, you know, they're running on such a shoestring that they can't even take time to like properly set things. I don't know what happened, but there were way too many moments in this movie where it looked like they weren't even trying, and that's just the bare minimum of effort I require for even a dumb movie, you know? Snoozy Boochies, it's leaderboard time. I really don't want to spend any time with this, because this leaderboard is completely irrelevant. So, for the argument, for the sake of argument, I will give Jay and Silent Bob Reboot 5.7, but that's not what you came here to say. That's not even a real number. It's just completely fake. What you want is the Fast and the Furious leaderboard. Too furious. I'm too fast for y'all, man. Fast and the Furious leaderboard time. This movie is fun, and I'm going to have to sort of take this rating as from the perspective of the guy who really likes Kevin Smith and the guy who sees all these movies. I didn't see Yoga Hosers. I didn't see Yoga Hosers. That was the only one I didn't see. Saw Tusk. That was really bad. Saw Red State. That was really incredible. I thought that was the beginning of Kevin turning things around a little bit. All the Venus Universe stuff beforehand was varying levels of fine, entertaining. And Jersey Girl was a complete miss. But this movie just doesn't, it's a fun, stupid stoner comedy. And, you know, those can be great if you're inclined to like that sort of thing. If you're not, no rating is good enough for you. You're not going to enjoy this film. I don't think you're going to like it. But if you're more in line with me, if you're Kevin Smith Die Hard, you've watched all the films, I would give this flick 7.6. Like, it's fun, it's fine. I'm glad to see all these people again, even though it's been 20 years and it's kind of like disorienting to see how much older people have gotten. But it's nice. It just feels like good closure for the long-term fans, and I feel like I'll say this for as long as Kevin Smith doesn't make something serious. I just really want Kevin Smith to make something serious. Anyway, that's it for me. If you want more, you can go to my website, CoreyBakerFilmmaker.com, Facebook.com/CoreyBakerFilm, and at LegendCB5 on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Don't have anything else in the queue right now, but if you want me to see something, please send it along. I would happily go check out anything that's available on streaming right now, because obviously we can't go to the movies. So just let me know, and I'll make up another review and send it right out to you. Well, if you don't mind, I have to go smoke some legendary strain of something and then just sort of goof off for the rest of the day.